It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw, steps up, floats a bomb up the right seam, looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, too much deflected.
Bell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know that's
the Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for Chronicles of Narnia. So for that, we welcome in our resident stat geek at TurnOnTheJets.com, Gangrene Nation, Elite Sports New York, and Yard Barker, and a guy who is well known for his penchant for hidden production, Michael Narnia. What's going on, Michael?
Not too much. I'm just enjoying this blowout win. We do not get a lot of these as Jets fans, so you got to enjoy. It's not often when you're a Jets fan that it's the third quarter, there's 8 minutes left, and you're kind of just, you know, waiting out the game, like already finished with watching, just kind of the energy's out, and not because you're getting blown out or because, you know, all this ridiculous stuff has happened, but because the Jets have already got the game wrapped up.
Michael, let's start with the quarterback, Sam Darnold. Wow, did he have himself a day. He has been putting up some stellar numbers lately.
Yeah, so you just look at his standard numbers over the last three games. He's 58 of 89, 838 yards. That's 9.4 per attempt, which is incredibly good. Seven passing touchdowns. The two rushing touchdowns, one against the Giants and one this past week against the Raiders. Only one interception, which came against the Redskins. And overall, he's got a 117.2 pass rating, which over his past three games is second in the league to only the incredible Lamar Jackson, who's way ahead of him and anyone else right now. But second to Lamar Jackson over his past three games in passer rating. But, you know, as we talked about a lot on here, there are a lot of different ways you can slice up the positive things he's done, a lot of different ways to split it in terms of, you know, passing yards, qualifiers, passing attempts, yards per attempt, whatever. But the bottom line is that he is really stacking up these good performances now. Yesterday, or Sunday, was his fourth career game with over 300 passing yards on at least 8 yards per attempt. That ties him with Peyton Manning for the most ever before turning 23 years old. It was his sixth game with over 250 yards and a 100-plus passer rating, the most ever before turning 23 years old. And over the last two games, he actually had over 120 passer rating and over 290 passing yards in each of these past two games against the Raiders and the Redskins. He's the youngest player ever to do that in back-to-back games at 22 years and 172 days. And he's also the first player to do that three times before turning 23 years old, as he did against the Packers last season as well. And now this is his third consecutive week. I believe he was fourth in QBR this week with this game. So this was his third consecutive game, ranking top 10 for the week in QBR. That's tied with Baker Mayfield for the second longest active streak in the league, ranking top 10 in QBR. Only Lamar Jackson is ahead of them. He's done it 6 weeks in a row, which is just incredible. But Darnold, Mayfield tied behind him for most consecutive games active, ranking top 10 for the week in QBR. And also, to put him with some more elite company, just a stat that he doesn't have the record in, but just puts him with some elite company. The game against the Raiders was Darnold's fifth career game with over 280 passing yards and 110 passer rating. It was his 21st career start, so only four other guys have done that five times or more over their first 21 career starts. Dan Marino did it five times, Tony Romo seven times, Kurt Warner eight times, Patrick Mahomes 11 times. Those are the only guys to do that as many times or more than Darnold did, 280 yards and 110 passer rating over their first 21 starts. So puts him in some great company there. And really through, you know, most of these, he was with some great company. But, you know, as we talked about a lot, there are an infinite number of ways you could slice it up. But the bottom line is that he is really stacking up these high volume, high efficiency performances at a really good rate now here in the early part of his career. And, you know, outside of that New England game, you know, he's really been progressing this season. He's had just overall been more productive than he was on the whole last season, continuing what he was doing over that final four stretch last season when he led the league in QBR after coming back from injury. So he's definitely starting to show that progression. And, you know, the defenses he's been playing have been weak. You know, this game against the Raiders was the fourth game in a seventh game stretch against bottom 10 DVOA defenses. So obviously he's not playing the toughest competition right now, but you know, there's still a bar to clear against these bad teams. You want him to prove that, you know, he can dominate them and he can beat them with consistency. To be a Super Bowl team, you got to really be able to beat, you know, 75-80% of the losing teams that you face. And Oakland's not a losing team, but you know, they could end up as one if they continue playing like this. But the bottom line is you got to be able to beat up on the bad competition. If you're going to win divisions, if you're going to make the playoffs, get yourself home field advantage in the playoffs, going to be top quarterback in the league, you have to be able to beat up on the teams you're supposed to be able to beat up on. And against the Jaguars and Dolphins a couple weeks ago, Darnold wasn't able to do that. But three games in a row now, he's been, you know, very, very good against three teams that he absolutely should be able to be very good against. So he's got two more games these next 2 weeks against, you know, easy competition, the 0-11 Bengals coming up, the Dolphins after that at home, a team he struggled against, you know, in Miami two times in a row now over these last 2 years. So for him to have these great performances against bad teams, it still has a lot of value. You want to be sure that, you know, he can dominate these great teams, and he'll have some tougher competition later in the season against the Ravens, in Baltimore, against the Bills and Buffalo. Those are two really tough matchups against, and two of the toughest places to play. And then the Steelers, who have a really good pass rush, although that one's at home. But over the stretch against bad teams, you want him to show you that, you know, we can go. You want him to prove that, you know, going into 2020, we can feel confident he's going to be able to beat up on bad teams with consistency. And then hopefully he can develop, you know, playing well in those tougher games on the road against good teams. And, you know, just when you play teams like the Patriots. So, and we will be able to see that towards the end of the season. We'll get a couple tough matchups, but right now he's dominating the bad competition. He's putting up high volume, high efficiency performances at a rate that very few people, or, you know, almost nobody has been able to do at his age. And, you know, even without the age qualifier, just this early in his career, he's with mostly very good names who've been able to have as many performances of the caliber that he's had at this stage of his career.
Michael, make no mistake about it. These are elite numbers, and it's putting Darnold in the company of some pretty awesome quarterbacks, guys like Patrick Mahomes, Kurt Warner, Tony Romo, Dan Marino, the absolute cream of the crop. And if you look at how he's stacking up with the other 2018 rookies, they've all been on fire. Between Darnold and Lamar Jackson, they have been kicking butt big time lately the last couple of weeks. Darnold's still got a long way to go to prove that he belongs on that top level on a permanent basis, but the early returns are really exciting. It's impossible not to get amped up about it if you're a Jets fan.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really just the high points that he's been showing. I mean, you just look at his career game log and put it up against Baker Mayfield, put it up against Josh Allen, even Lamar Jackson, who has been incredible. He's been near perfect, but his performances have, you know, consistently come in games where he only has to throw 20, 25 passes because the Ravens are so good. He's so good that he barely has to do anything. But Darnold, you know, with the circumstances, the Jets have generally not been good. They've not been able to blow out teams that often. And even over these past two games where they have blown out the Raiders and Redskins, they still asked him to do quite a bit. And he's been, the frequency at which he's had these games where he's thrown, you know, 29 over up to like, you know, 38, close to 40 passes, it's still been extremely efficient. It's really staggering. It's really impressive. You look at the number of games that he's had, you know, like that, putting up, you know, high 200 into the 300s in passing yards, but still being over 8, 9, sometimes over 10 yards per attempt, like he was this past week against the Raiders. It's really impressive. And obviously the down points are there. We're only a few weeks removed from where he couldn't do anything against a tanking Dolphins defense, where he threw three interceptions against the Jaguars, who now have the same record as the Jets do, and the incredible game against the Patriots, which was incredible for all the wrong reasons. So we're still only a couple of weeks removed from that. So the low points are there, and you want him to be able to show you that he can go long stretches without those games. Every quarterback has games like that, but you would like for it to not be as infrequent as it has been for him over these first 2 years. But he is still 22 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow, who's going to get drafted really high next year. He's still not even until next year is he going to be as old as Baker Mayfield was when he made his first start. He's about the same age as Daniel Jones. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of time to figure this out. Not an infinite amount of time. You want to see the progression sooner rather than later, but we're starting to see now three games in a row he's been really efficient. You know, four games out of seven since coming back, he's been really, really good if you include that Cowboys game. And the Jets have a 4-3 record up. You know, you take out the mono game assuming he was playing with it against the Bills. They're 4-3 with him healthy this season, which is a really good step forward from last season when they were 4-9 with him in the lineup. So, you know, he's taken some really solid steps forward this season, but the key now is they got 5 games left. You got 2 more games against competition he should continue beating up on these next 2 weeks, and then you got 3 tougher games down the stretch. So the key is just being consistent over these final few games. And even if he can't, you know, beat up the Ravens, beat up the Steelers or the Bills, you know, just be okay. Just be decent. Give them a chance. Just avoid these, you know, really low games that he's had. So the consistency is the key with, you know, every athlete ever. So, and it's the same thing with him. Consistency is extremely huge. He's been great these past 3 weeks, but now he's got to prove he can be great again over these next 2 games against really bad teams. And then over these final 3 games against tougher teams, just, you know, allow the Jets to be competitive. This is still a team that's really banged up, really low on talent, the amount of injuries that they've had. So just to keep them competitive against those 3 teams at the end would be impressive for him. But staying away from those, you know, down performances like the ones we saw a few weeks ago is really important.
You had some interesting observations about the offensive line too, Michael.
Yeah, so Kelvin Beachum now is starting to look like an X factor. And, you know, we've criticized the offensive line plenty this season, but Kelvin Beachum's playing pretty well right now. He's given up only 3 pressures over his past 4 games, 1 each in the first 3 of those, and none against the Raiders this past week. And all those were just hurries, no hits, no sacks allowed. And in those 4 games, the Jets have gone 4-0. He played in the Cowboys game when Darnold came back, was good in that one, against DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn. They won that one. Then he went out for 3 games. The Jets lost all 3 of those. Now he's come back, and the Jets have won 3 in a row. Now, of course, playing against weaker competition is part of that, but still, since Darnold came back, the Jets are 4-0 with Beachum. He's played really well in those games, and they're 0-3 without him, and the Jets' offensive line was brutal in those 3 games against the Patriots, Jaguars, and Dolphins. So he's playing really solidly in pass protection, not so much in the run game, which we know has never been his strength, and the Jets still overall, although they're doing better in the run game, still not where you'd like to be. It just feels like an improvement because they're, you know, not completely awful, but they're still below average with the run blocking. But Beachum's pass protecting really well right now, and the Jets are 4-0, and they have a healthy Darnold and a healthy Beachum in the lineup. So, and you go back to Darnold's last season now, or, you know, over the course of his 21 starts, he's now 8-4 when taking 2 sacks or less. And, you know, obviously every quarterback is going to play better and they don't get, you know, hit as much, pressured as much, but that's still above the league average. The league average over the past few seasons in games where the team takes 2 sacks or less is about 636. So Darnold at 8-4 is at about a 667 win percentage. So slightly above that or right around it. And when he has taken 3 sacks or more, he's gone 0-9. So he's yet to win a start when he's been sacked 3 times or more. And the league average win percentage in that scenario is about 330. So even though, obviously, you're going to win more, the quarterback's going to play better when you take less sacks, again, there's still, you know, an expectation, still a bar to clear or be below. And when he's had the time, when he's been sacked 2 times or less, he's won about as much as you'd expect the average quarterback to win at just 21 years old, playing with some pretty poor circumstances. But when he's taken 3 sacks or more and the pressure's been there, he's really struggled to get it done. So that's another thing you'd like to see him do a better job with, you know, when the pressure's been there. Because, like we said, without Beachum, the offensive line was terrible. The pass protection was really bad in those 3 games, and he really struggled to deal with that pressure, throwing 8 interceptions over those 3 games without Beachum, where the offensive line is really bad. But now things going well for him. He's performing, you know, very solidly. So another positive sign for him would be, you know, to see him have performances where he can play really well, even though the pressure's there. And he did that down the stretch of last season in those Texans and Packers games. Things weren't really going his way, especially against the Texans. The offensive line was really not good. The run game didn't do many favors, and he still played really well, even though the Jets didn't win. But just to see him have some good performances, and even when things aren't going his way, it would be good, because things aren't going to go his way in every single game of the course of his career. You know, hopefully the Jets do build a good offensive line, and if they are going to be a championship contender, they're going to have to. But even if you do have a good offensive line, there are going to be games where the pressure is just coming constantly, and things are not, circumstances aren't favorable for you. So you want him to be able to prove that, you know, he can win a game where the pressure is there and things aren't going his way. And we've seen him have good performances, even though the wins, like I said, the Texans game, he performed well. I don't remember how many sacks he took in that game, but the offensive line wasn't good. The run game wasn't good. There were drops, missed field goals, and he still played extremely well, even though the Jets lost the game. So, but just to see more performances like that would be really good. Obviously, ideally, the offensive line continues playing well, so he can keep having these great performances and showing you how good he can be when things are going well. Ideally, that does happen, but you know, if they don't, you still would like to see Darnold be able to show that he can be competitive, potentially lead the Jets to a win in a game where he has to take, you know, a lot of sacks, a lot of pressure.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Michael, if Sam Darnold is going to be that weapon that we hope that he can be over the course of his career, he's going to need his weapons to step up. And two of the weapons that he has at his disposal right now have done pretty well. One of them is Ryan Griffin, who just signed that extension. The other, Robbie Anderson, not entirely sure whether or not he's going to be here next year, but he still had some pretty nice moments with Sam Darnold. As you said before, some high highs. Talk to me about the interesting tidbits you found on Ryan Griffin and Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, so Ryan Griffin, obviously the man of the extension just a few days ago. He's been an unexpected red zone weapon for the Jets. He's always been a solid receiver. He hasn't really had the numbers to back it up, but he was never really a big touchdown scorer. The five he has this season is already his career best, and he's got four of those touchdown receptions in the red zone. That's tied for the fourth most red zone touchdowns among tight ends this season. And just to show how inept the Jets have been in the red zone the past few years, that's already the most red zone touchdowns in a season by a Jet since Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker had 10 each in 2015. So just four red zone touchdowns for Griffin in 11 games, already more than any Jet has had in one season in almost a half decade. So it's the most by a Jets tight end since Dustin Keller at five in 2011. So he's really stepped up kind of out of nowhere. You know, they've had to get more out of him than they probably expected they would need because of Chris Herndon's injury, but he's stepped up, done a really good job. Obviously, blocking is not something he's good at. His run blocking has been pretty bad this year, kind of been one of the bigger reasons they haven't been able to run the ball. But in the receiving game, he's been giving you just about all you could ask for, and especially in the red zone. Over these past few weeks, he's stepped up as a really good frequent target for Sam Darnold, and he's among the leaders in red zone touchdowns among tight ends. But Robbie Anderson also has now been stepping up in the red zone. He scored in the red zone in back-to-back games. He's now got, he had only one red zone touchdown over his first 42 career games. Now he's four in his past 15. You go back to last season, he had the two scramble touchdowns, the really amazing plays with Darnold in the Bills and Texans games back-to-back. Now over these past 2 weeks against the Redskins and now the Raiders with red zone touchdowns. So just a good sign of the diversification of his game, just expanding what he can do, what he can bring to the table. Having only one red zone score or one red zone touchdown over his first 42 games in the league. And that was from 18 yards out against the Dolphins back in 2017. So in the red zone, but not like a short yardage touchdown. But these four touchdowns he's got in his past 15 games, four red zone touchdowns, all those were within, I believe, 5 yards or maybe 6 yards, one of them was. But all of them were really short yardage, especially these past couple over these past 2 weeks. So it's really good sign for him to see that. You know, four red zone touchdowns in 16 games is, you know, for a deep threat receiver, a guy whose primary part of his game is getting down the field, that's really solid. So for him to do have four of those in his past 15 games, that's really solid production in the red zone for him. So if he can maintain that going forward, you know, if he stays with the Jets, that'd be huge going forward. If you can get four red zone touchdowns a season out of Robbie Anderson, a guy who is, you know, under 200 pounds or maybe about that, a guy whose, you know, primary game is speed, getting down the field, taking the top off of the defense, that's tremendous production. So he's got a really good rapport going with Sam Darnold in the red zone since the end of last season.
Ryan Griffin re-signed, so he's going to be in the fold for the foreseeable future. Robbie Anderson is an unknown, but one guy that I think that the Jets should definitely look to lock down is Brian Poole. He has been playing outstanding this season, and he's not the only one in that secondary. We know about Jamal Adams. We know Marcus May's been a little up and down, although he played pretty well against the Raiders. But the two unexpected pleasant surprises in that secondary in the last couple of weeks have been Blessing Austin and Arthur Millett at cornerback. You dug up some really cool factoids about Millett, Austin, and Brian Poole. What do you got?
Yeah, these guys have just come out of nowhere to give the Jets. Well, Brian Poole has been great all season, but Millett and Austin have really come out of nowhere to save a position that's been fledgling all season for the Jets. You started with Jermaine Johnson. He's awful. He's on IR now. Darryl Roberts has been there all season. You know, he has had some decent games, but more so some really bad games. Nate Harrison originally came in for Jermaine Johnson, and you know he's getting the hype that these guys are now. He started off really well, but he was really bad over his final few games before he got injured. Now Austin and Millett have come in, and they've played really, really well. Obviously, they started off those two good games against you know competition that you'd like to see them be good against, two rookie quarterbacks in Jones and Haskins. They were good in those games, but the Raiders were going to be a better test. I was definitely going into that game something, maybe the top thing I was looking out for on defense, how these guys were going to do against a team that's seventh in the league in pass offense. DVOA entered that game as in that ranking, so a really good passing offense, and they were up to the test. Brian Poole is not targeted a single time against the Raiders. Millett, 6 catches on 7 targets for 33 yards, just 1 first down. Austin, 3 catches, 6 targets, 24 yards, 2 first downs, so a very limited production against one of the better passing teams in the league. And both of these guys from run support, too. Now, Millett did have some bad missed tackles, specifically in the passing game. But in run support, these guys are really active. Austin had a huge stop on the 4th-and-1 play. That was kind of the turning point in the second half, or maybe the final nail in the coffin for the Raiders. Austin made that happen, along with Marcus May. Arthur Millett was one of the most active run defenders in this game. We know Brian Poole can lay the hits. But specifically, Austin and Millett have been really active in run support. I'm kind of more confident in Austin going forward because some of these missed tackles that Millett has had, Austin hasn't really had as much, but still Arthur Millett has been playing really well as well. He has not given up anything over the top. He's been active in run defense, but over the last 3 weeks now, among cornerbacks with at least 70 cover snaps, these three guys are each among the top 7 in the league in fewest yards allowed per cover snap. Brian Poole's number 1. And on the season, Poole is actually 3rd among all cornerbacks in fewest yards allowed per cover snap. But over these past 3 weeks, Poole number 1, Austin number 5, Millett number 7. So these guys are playing really well right now. And, you know, having done this now against a really good offense in the Raiders, that is a team that's shredded a lot of defenses this season, that was definitely a huge proving point for them. And, you know, 3 games does not make a player. There's still plenty of time left in the season. Baltimore's coming up in a few weeks. That'll be a tough test for them. But right now, they're playing really, really well. And like we talked about Darnold, just because you're playing bad competition, it doesn't, you know, take away the value of what you're doing. Because, you know, just before the Giants game, we saw Darryl Roberts and Nate Harrison get shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So just because you're playing well against bad competition, it doesn't, you know, take away from what you're doing. Because, you know, some guys can't play well against that bad competition. And you still want to be able to do it with consistency. And they did that against Jones and Haskins. Now they added a good performance against a good team. So just like Darnold's going to try and prove that he can continue to dominate bad teams, now Austin and Millett have to go out and show that they can keep this going against Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So these guys are playing really well right now, and it's huge for the Jets going forward if we can come out of this season feeling like if we can come out of this season with Blessing Austin and Arthur Millett having played a full second half of elite cornerback, that would be huge for them going into next season. So still 5 games left for them to prove that, but if that can happen, that would be huge, huge for them going into next season with the amount of holes that they have. And Brian Poole has been elite all season, got the pick 6 against the Raiders this past week. Obviously Neville Hewitt kind of made that happen, but still it was good to see Poole get that big play. Just to kind of, he's been playing great all season, so it was good to see him get rewarded with that. So him on a 1-year deal, the Jets have a decision to make on him. Do they invest in that breakout year? Slot corner is a really a position that's hard to really stay consistent with year to year. It's really volatile, so they do have a tough decision on him. But with Millett and Austin having those guys under control, specifically Austin, if they can finish as strongly as they played these past 3 weeks, it would be a huge asset for them going into next season.
The missed tackles for Millett, certainly something to improve upon, but Michael, we know this is a passing league, and so the primary responsibility of a cornerback is always going to be to cover the opposing wide receivers. Both Austin and Millett have done a really good job of that so far, although we should caution, Michael, it is, of course, a small sample size.
Yeah, for sure. It's only three games. Two of them are against Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins, who are rookies who have been among the less productive over-the-top quarterbacks in the league this season, near the bottom there. But, you know, having that good performance against Carr and a Raiders team that was seventh in pass offense, DVOA, coming in is impressive, but it's three games. There's still five left. We're going to see more from them than we've seen so far, as long as they stay healthy. So even if they finish the second half strong, it would only be half of the season. So very promising, but every single game is just another opportunity for them to add some more legitimacy to what they've been doing.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Michael, as I said, it is a passing league, but it is nice to have a really strong run defense because it takes away an important element of an opposing team, especially a team like the Raiders, who coming into the game against the Jets had a really good rushing attack. The rookie Josh Jacobs out of Alabama had been one of the best running backs in the league, but the Jets held him in check. Just over 30 yards rushing. They made him look very ordinary. This is a unit that has continued to get better every week. There were questions as to whether or not they were just putting up stats against weak teams. The Raiders are not a weak team. They have a particularly good offensive line, a particularly good running attack, and the Jets absolutely smashed them. This is a unit that is getting the job done week in, week out, and they are getting stronger and stronger as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, this is now 10 games in a row the Jets have held their opponent to under 4 yards per rush, which is incredible. That's the longest streak in Jets history. They've held opponents to under 3.5 yards per rush and zero rushing touchdowns in five straight games. And this is now a three-week span. They've held Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley to career lows in total rush yards and yards per carry. So they're playing incredible. Austin and Millett are a part of that. But, I mean, Nathan Shepard has really come on, and a guy who did absolutely nothing last year has really developed the season. He's playing really well. Fadakasi, we know what he's doing. Quinnen Williams is playing his role solidly. Steve McClendon, Henry Anderson, everyone's really getting involved in this run defense. And it's really incredible because, I mean, the inside linebackers, Neville Hewitt and James Burgess, they make a good amount of plays, but they also miss a really good amount of tackles. But the Jets are still playing really good run defense. Jamal Adams has been as much a part of it as anybody, but Greg Williams, too, has really been doing a tremendous job this defense. This is a Jets defense that has allowed the 11th fewest points per drive, even though they've been missing numerous first and second team players at positions across the defense. You're missing Mosley, Williamson, Cashman, who, even though, I mean, missing Cashman is an upgrade, but don't tell anyone else that I said that. But you're missing Mosley, you're missing Williamson, and you know, you're missing cornerbacks, just so many injuries on this defense. And they played with the worst average starting field position in the league by wide margin. They started on average at their own 32-yard line, which is over a yard worse than any other team, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a huge difference between them and the rest of the league. The worst average starting field position, numerous injuries, including to two of the best run-defending inside linebackers in the league, and one of those two being Mosley, one of the most complete linebackers in the league. And they're still a top 11 defense in points per drive and top 10 in DVOA. So they're playing really well in spite of the circumstances. And, you know, they're just good, period. But the fact that they are good with everything that's gone on. Such a testament to Greg Williams and the development we're seeing now with Arthur Millett, bless on Austin, Nathan Shepard, who I talked about, who looks like a completely different player. And it's something you didn't really expect as a guy coming into the league as old as he was. I believe he's 25 years old now, which is incredible for a second year player, but he's developed Fadakasi, what he's been doing. So Greg Williams making a team that completely depleted, getting no help from the offense, is really young, and they're playing really well under him. And now he's getting progression out of some young players that could be a part of the team going forward. So he is doing, Greg Williams might be the Jets MVP this season, honestly, outside maybe Sam Darnold, whose return has, you know, changed everything. But Greg Williams, what he's been able to do with this defense in spite of everything is really, really impressive. And especially because now he's starting to groom some guys who could help the team going forward into 2020 and beyond.
With the job he's doing with the Jets this season, Greg Williams is starting to get into that Wade Phillips territory where he may never get another shot at a head coaching job again as anything more than an interim head coach, partially because he's failed in the past, but also partially because of all that stuff that went on with Bountygate. But much like with Wade Phillips, I think that a lot of people have realized, especially now with the job that he's done with the Jets, when you combine it with the job that he's done in so many other places, that he's an elite defensive coordinator. And if he is the guy that's calling the shots on the defensive side of the ball for your team, your defense is in really good hands.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, just the fact that the Jets have been not terrible or average, they've been a good defense, even though they've had to deal with so much. And it's just really impressive. And the whole really seems like it's greater than the sum of his parts. Because like I said, this run defense, this is easily the best run defense in the league. But there are some players on this team who have struggled in run defense. The inside linebackers have been okay, but like I said, they missed a lot of tackles. James Burgess and Neville Hewitt have. And when Blake Cashman was out there, he was really struggling in run defense, but the Jets are still up there. And Quinnen Williams, too, hasn't been, a lot of it is usage, but he hasn't been as dominant as expected. But they've been able to find a way to use him to just, you know, play a role in the overall team success more so than individual success. He's done a really good job doing what they've asked of him, and it's really helped the run defense. So he's done a really good job, but now over these past few weeks, we've started to see the progression of a few young players. Actually, most of them, like McCagnan draft picks, who are under contract going forward and can be a part of this team turning it around. So the fact that he's doing that now is really positive. And you know, with a lot of these injuries, I think missing Blake Cashman and Tremaine Johnson actually might make the team better. But that doesn't even have to be the case. As bad as those guys were when they're in there, there's a reason they're higher on the depth chart than the guys who are below them. It's because the coaching staff thought they were better. But, you know, these guys have come in, but bless on Austin, Arthur Millett, and then even Hewitt and Burgess, who I don't think have played that well, are a little bit overrated because they missed a lot of tackles and struggle in coverage. But they're part of one of the best run defenses in the NFL and a team that's playing solidly in pass defense now. So it's really impressive what Greg Williams has done. The Jets defense being average would be an accomplishment. The Jets defense being not the worst in the league would be an accomplishment, but the Jets defense being one of the top 10 teams in the league and grooming young talent going forward is really, really impressive what he's done.
No question about it. Greg Williams has done a fantastic job. He's done so well that it would even motivate some people to go buy tickets for a game. And if you're going to do that this Sunday, you want to make that trip to Cincinnati for the Jets and the Bengals, make sure you download the Vivid Seats mobile app and get yourself an excellent ticket, because you don't want to travel all the way to Cincinnati to sit in the nosebleeds. And if you're going to buy yourself an excellent ticket, get a great deal with the Vivid Seats mobile app, which will allow you to get up to $100 off on your very first purchase if you use the promo code OVERTIME. Even if you don't want to go to that game, there's plenty of other stuff you can use that promo code for. You can go see a concert, a basketball game, a hockey game. Anything you want to see, you can use that promo code to get yourself some really good seats. Just download the Vivid Seats mobile app, enter the promo code OVERTIME, and you'll get yourself up to $100 off on your very first purchase. Now, Michael, you put together some other really awesome stats here this week that I'm going to call odds and ends because they don't really fit into any specific category, but they're certainly worth mentioning. So why don't you go ahead and share them with us?
Yeah, so just a couple of the weird milestones that the Jets hit with their 34-3 extremely fun blowout win against the Raiders. So back-to-back 3+ score wins for the Jets now over the Redskins and the Raiders. That's at least 17 points. It's the first time the Jets have won back-to-back games by 3 scores or more since weeks 11-12 of 2002. So it's been 17 years since the Jets have gone back-to-back games with 3 score wins, which is just mind-blowing. It's their biggest margin of victory at home since week 17 of 2010, which is when they had the same margin against the Bills. Last season, they did have a 31-point win against the Lions. Obviously, that was in Detroit on the season opener. But their biggest at home since the Bills win in week 17 of 2010. And 34 points in three straight games, exactly, for the Jets. First team ever to score exactly 34 points in three straight games. So I guess that's the magic number for the Jets this year. You got Brian Poole, who's balling out, wearing number 34. And you got the Jets now at 3-0 with 34 points in three straight games. First team ever to do that. So, and also, this was the fewest points allowed by the Jets since their 32-3 win over the Jaguars in week two of the 2011 season. That was the last time that they held a team to just 3 points. So this was a blowout of, for the Jets, by Jets standards, historical proportions for the Jets here against the Raiders. Not often you've seen them hold teams to that low scoring. Not often you see teams see them blow a team out by that much, you know, period. The weirdness of scoring exactly 34 in three straight games, and also, you know, blowing teams out by at least three scores in back-to-back games. Not something they've done a lot. And I feel like there have been a lot of games where the Jets had three-score leads and kind of let teams tack on a few extra points at the end when the game is over, like they did against the Redskins, a game they're leading by a lot. Actually, they were winning that game 34-3 until they gave up those two touchdowns at the end. So I feel like there have been games like that, but, you know, at least by the final score, first time the Jets have won back-to-back games by at least three scores since 2002.
Michael, it's that time. Time to ask the question that's on everybody's mind.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
What you talking about, PFF? What do you got this week?
I honestly have to give it to them this week. There's nothing too egregious. Pretty much everyone got about the credit I'd give them. The only things that I'd kind of disagree with is Nathan Shepard got a really bad grade in this game. Third worst on the defense ahead of Burgess and Hewitt. I agree with those two at the bottom, but I think Shepard played pretty well in this game, so I think he deserves to be higher. Jamal Adams was third in this game. Austin and Millett were the top two defensive players on the team, which I agree with, but I do think maybe Adams could be higher than them. But overall, really nothing too bad this week. And it not too often that we say this, but good job, PFF. They did a good job grading this game, I think.
As you said, Michael, credit where credit is due. PFF actually did a pretty good job with their grading system this week in the Jets-Raiders game. 9 out of 10 times we're going to come on here and trash PFF with some really egregious examples of their ridiculous grading system. But as this past week with the Jets and Raiders proves once again, even a blind squirrel can find an acorn once in a while, right?
That's definitely true. We know that.
Michael Nania of Gangrene Nation, TurnOnTheJets.com, Elite Sports New York, Yard Barker, and now joining the ranks of the very big deal, Chris Nimbley, over at JetsInsider.com. You have got your hands full, my man, but I hope you're able to take a few minutes, few hours, or even a few days off for Thanksgiving. Not sure what you're doing, but I hope it involves eating a whole lot of turkey and watching a whole lot of football. I'm sure you got plenty of stuff cooking, so why don't you go ahead and let everybody know what's coming down the pike?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Michael_Nania. I tweet out pretty much everything. Going to be starting at Jets Insider. By the time this is out, probably my first piece with them has been out. But excited to start working with the very big deal, Chris Nimbley, over there. Should be fun going forward. But looking forward to the Jets playing the Bengals this week. Should be, hopefully could be fourth win in a row. And like you said, this show is a lot more fun when the Jets are out there destroying teams, so we have some positive stuff to talk about. So let's hope we have some more next week.
Go ahead and follow Michael on Twitter at Michael_Nania, N-A-N-I-A. Read his work in the 655 different places that he puts it out. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.